Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? Tasmanian Devin here, and we have another amazing podcast going in where our vein has been all about connecting technology to handshakes. And I tell you what, it's all about the people in between to make that happen. And I'm so stoked to be hearing from Zach Soflin, who we're going to hear his story of architects solving a problem to develop a cool tool that we're going to learn about called Layer. So we're going to layer, and I'm so excited to share the lessons learned and his journeys that they've went through to go to market with his platform. Man, it's a challenge. When I think about it in my day-to-day business and talking to the other members of the tribe, we all want to have that open source tool, but we want the tool to do the work for us, and you can't have both. So you got to figure that out. Zach has given us some great examples of living documents that we are going to talk about. And I'm also pumped because the Tasmanian Devin doesn't use these tools day in and day out. So we brought in Matt McMullen, our guest co-host again today, to talk through about how we break down these different disciples. Matt, thanks for coming in and joining me today.
Hey, thanks for inviting me to join you, Devin.
So what's your goal for today with our conversation with Zach?
Well, hey, I just want people to understand from the AOC tribe that we have spared absolutely no expense to go to the heartland of Nebraska to talk to Zach. So,
yeah, we're going to fly over and go to Studio AOC and have a conversation. And I think he's even going to talk to us about the state capitol, and we're going to have some fun about how their tool was built. So we've had many great fireside chats with companies like BuilderTrend and Ideate Software and Hypar and Enscape and alike. And I want to challenge Zach. How does his tool work with the rest of the AOC tribe and how it's different? So what do you say, Matt? Should we go in and have some fun and learn about what Zach's built with Layer?
Yeah, I think it's great, Devin, because one of the things that I think Zach's going to talk about, and we've talked about it many times on The Art of Construction, is about how do you break down the different discipline silos, you know, architecture, engineering, construction. And I think his tool starts to get there. So I am eager to learn more.
Hey, and contractors, don't turn this off, because I challenged him to say, how is this going to benefit you as our audience? And a couple of things he said in the pre-interview is, we make it in three dimension. In contractors, you make it real, in melding the design and execution all together. So let's go in and have a fireside chat with Zach. Lock and load. What's your favorite beverage?
Oh, I have to say, LaCroix is my favorite beverage. We all of us at Layer are huge fizzy water fans. So that sounds like quite the answer, but that's where we're at.
So I have to stop you right off the bat, and I'm not supposed to do this, as my coaches say, let you answer these speed round questions. But we were doing a pumpkin carving fun night with the family, and we were at this friend's house. And, you know, we go through these LaCroix things. My wife is like a case of these things a week. And it's like, man, what a waste. And then they're like, well, yeah, we have these things. You just pump the oxygen and it's like LaCroix all flavor. And I'm like, well, there you go, Zach. I learned something. You got to pump got to have the carbonated water these days. You can't just have regular water. But so after a hard day's work, is it still LaCroix or do we add some spice to it?
Oh, sometimes we add some spice to it, but yeah, for the most part, we go through quite a bit of LaCroix here at our office.
What's a favorite place you've traveled?
My wife and I are both beach people, for sure. But I would say probably our favorite trip has been to San Francisco, and an absolutely gorgeous city. So,
You know, I was concerned you were going to say Lake McConaughey. You know, given that you're in Lincoln. So I'm pleased to hear San Francisco.
Not quite.
What's one story from your experience with you and your wife in San Francisco?
Oh, I would say for us, like the most fun was we rented a moped and drove over the bridge into Sausalito along the coastline, and man, it was absolutely gorgeous. We went down into I forget what the the woods are. Muir Woods, I think, is what it is. And it was absolutely amazing. So we had a blast.
Yeah, that's an awesome area. Cool stuff.
It is.
Well, what's your favorite hobby or interest outside the construction arena that we're passionately breaking down these silos that we call the art of construction?
You know, my wife and I are acreage owners, so that ends up taking up a lot of our extra time, but we happen to love it as well. Gardening and animals and all of that stuff. So, yeah.
I'd say that's awesome stuff.
It's a good hobby.
Cool. We got to know a little bit about Zach. What's your story that led you to founding and being the COO at Layer?
Yeah. So I'm an architect of about 8 years prior to this. I went to school here in Nebraska, studied architecture, and got out of school and started working full time for an architecture firm here in Nebraska called BVH Architecture. So I was a project architect working on all kinds of different projects. Continued to develop my career in architecture. Never really thought about going into something besides architecture, but I'd always kind of been interested in how technology impacts our industry, both in architecture, engineering, design, construction, all of that. So I've always been interested in technology, but never really thought that it would be my full-time job. And as I continued to practice, I saw a large gap in how we as an industry were leveraging technology versus how other industries are leveraging technology. And so I would say more and more as I continued to practice, I realized that I had something to contribute kind of in that area, I would say.
Did you ever see Accidental Tourist with Bill Hurt, William Hurt, and Gina Davis? Uh-huh. So you were the accidental technologist.
Yes. Hey, that's true. Yes. Oh, man. So yeah, I started exploring technology related to design as I continued to practice, and really got into computational tools and parametric tools like Grasshopper and others that allowed us to do really cool things with technology as it relates to the design of buildings. But I'd say what really led me to Layer was a specific project. BVH was awarded the HVAC replacement for the Nebraska State Capitol. I was a project architect on that project, and we ran into a really large problem related to data collection on that project that we didn't have a way to solve. And so we decided to build a tool, and that ultimately became Layer. And so that's kind of how we got here. Today. We've been going at this for a couple years now, a year or two now.
Awesome. So cut your teeth with BVH Architecture, found a need for this tool and founded Layer. And in between, this is the part where, Matt, we get to finally toot our horn, because all year we had one big victory against this college named Nebraska as big CU fans. And in between, correct me if I'm wrong, you still run a course on parametric modeling at the University of Nebraska, right?
I do, yes. And I'm an avid Husker fan, for sure. that was a disappointing day.
It's not just been a hard 1 year, hard 2 years, because we were actually in Lincoln when we won year before last as well. So my heart goes out to you, but not too much.
There you go. Hey,
that's okay. The rest of the year, it's in, well, at least we beat Nebraska. That's all we keep saying. All right. I'll let the Bucks fan stuff go, and we'll get into. So what makes Layer unique?
Yeah, so Layer really is focused on contextualizing your building's information. And so that's really where we see us being unique. We have so many silos and different platforms that we're working with on a daily basis. Email strings about projects. We've got files and photos and file servers. We've got task lists. We've got chat apps, things like that. All of that information is organized in different methods and different ways. And so what Layer tries to do is tries to take all of those different data types, like conversations, tasks, field data, files, photos, take all those different data types and store them in the context of your actual building elements. So rather than having an email conversation and have files separately stored on a server somewhere, you're having a conversation in a specific room or on a specific piece of mechanical equipment or related to a specific door. So again, we're trying to contextualize all of your building's information to give you the information where you need it and to pull up relevant data related to it. So that's I'd say one of our biggest differentiating factors. Now, we have lots of different tools that really enable this to become really efficient. Like for example, everything that we do in Layer happens in real time. So there's no syncing or saving or publishing data, much like a Google document or something similar. All of those changes are coming in as you're making them and as your team is making them. So it gives you one home for all of your building's information. We also are, I'd say what makes us a lot different from other platforms out there is we stay away from defining and prescribing your workflows for you. Like, for example, we don't tell you this is specifically how your RFI process should look or how you should do punch lists or whatever else. We build ground level tools that allow you to customize your own workflows and to distribute them to your team. So I'd say those are our biggest differentiating factors. We also integrate all of this into different building platforms like Revit that allow you to connect all this data directly back to the tools you're using, whether it's in design, construction, or operations of your building.
So you're like a connector or a facilitator for big data in a sense. Is that a correct assertion or understanding of Layer?
Yeah, that's a great way to describe us. So really, I mean, there's lots of tools out there that can store massive amounts of data, right? But if you can't surface that information in a reliable and efficient way, it becomes useless. And so that's really what we try to do is surface the relevant information in your building at the right time.
So diving into kind of real-time collaboration, because you mentioned that just a second ago, I know in our firm at Able Design Group, we do a lot of collaboration with clients out of state or out of city or out of region. And so we're using, you know, GoToMeeting as our platform of choice. Mm-hmm. You know, I know some people use Citrix Online. I know some people use Zoom Call. How can you talk a little bit about how your, you know, Layer would take maybe that recorded information and archive that so it's accessible? Because a lot of meetings and design decisions are happening, and even construction observation and construction management decisions are made on those platforms.
Yeah, definitely. No, they definitely are. And I mean, especially related to, I mean, a lot of decisions are made, not even just inside remote meetings, but in meetings in general. And so again, what we try to do is provide tools to allow you to collect, disseminate, and distribute that information that and the decisions that happen in those meetings as effectively as possible by contextualizing them to your actual building. So we give you kind of these ground level tools that allow you to create the workflows that you care about. Like for example, if you have a Zoom meeting or something like that, you can dump those Zoom recordings directly into our files and attach them to specific meeting dates or specific parts of your building or whatever else. We have a meeting minutes feature that allows you to hashtag elements, you know, within your building, like a specific room or a specific piece of equipment, and actually add context to your meeting notes. So we provide lots of those types of tools that allow you to dump all of this information into one platform and find it quickly.
We, you know, when we talked about this, and you did a demo for a couple folks here in my office. And as an associate principal, one of the things I guess I saw value in immediately in Layer was, and you never want this to happen, but design claims, errors emissions yeah. assurance. And so there are all these sort of best practices that all the E&O insurers like CNA Schinnerer and Navigator Group and folks like that want you to do. And it seems to me like that that could be a valuable, Layer could be a valuable tool to help you document and archive processes, decisions, things like that. Maybe you could talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, that's a great point. So everything that we do in Layer is logged. So yeah, you have a full log of activity for your entire team. So the great part about this is whether it's a conversation or whether you're out in the field gathering field data or files or whatever else, all of that is logged and referenceable in the context of your building elements again. So if you have a claim, in a particular room or a particular space, or maybe it's a particular piece of equipment, you can see all of the information related to that specific element and even the history of those specific decisions. We kind of talk about Layer as a tool to kind of not only like store your information in context, but you're also able to see the context of why certain things are the way they are, like why decisions were made. You can see those conversations related specifically to that element, or see tasks related to it, or well, whatever else. So, and that kind of differs based on where you're at in the building lifecycle. Like in design, it's a great way to document design intent and things like that. But in construction, it can be an extended documentation method for like as-builts and things like that. So it really just depends on where you're at, but in the process. But you think it's a great tool for seeing the full picture of what happened on a project. This beyond just the 2D drawings.
Awesome stuff. So great point where we zoomed in to say the whole CYA of that particular room or whatever. And I challenge, one of my call to actions here for the Art of Construction Tribe is Zach does a great job of just kind of demoing out his product. So if you're interested, it boils down to, there's one of the slides as he says, the layer attributes boil down to four buckets. And that's being a customizable platform, real-time collaboration, contextualized data, and BIM integration. And if you listen to this series of all these podcasts, all that stuff, there's a lot of moving parts to those four things, but a tool that can pull those in together is super cool. So the next thing I want to do is I want to zoom out. I want to zoom way out, because I think a lot of business owners are trying to say what should be their mainframe. And how should, and then we're going to, I want to zoom back into a case study that really was the founding principles of how Layer was born. Does that sound like a good plan for you, Zach?
Yeah, that's great.
Awesome. So when I say mainframe, I guess I'd challenge you to say, we had talked about some different tools that it works with Revit, I heard you say, and some other ones, but should you be Google or Office 365? What's your recommendation there of the kind of founding principles when it comes to the technology platforms of the organization?
Yeah, I would say we're really platform agnostic as it comes to like other tools that you're using. Our ultimate goal, and I should say, you know, this may be a good point to kind of mention that, you know, we're a fairly young company. We launched April 2nd, and so while we feel like we have a really robust product, we have a giant roadmap in front of us of features that we want to add. We're constantly releasing features every month. New features are coming out. So the way I'll kind of talk about this a little bit is not only from the perspective of where we're at right now, but where we're going. And like I said, we're platform agnostic, meaning that we're trying to be as open as possible as far as what information you can actually bring in and link to our platform. Currently, we're limited on what we actually integrate with at this point, but we do plan on releasing integrations for both, Google Drive, Microsoft 365, Slack, Teams, all of these different tools, with the ultimate goal of, again, bringing all of this information into the context of your actual building versus storing it in all of these different silos. So to your question, I mean, we don't have a particular interest in you choosing a particular software. Our goal is to, again, aggregate all of your important project information from one central source.
What a great answer, because most platforms I talk to, as we're trying to connect technology to handshakes, it's, well, this is the box that we work in, and then I don't work in that box. So when you talk about contextualized data, you're building that platform that you're working with all the different moving parts, whether you're Google or Office 365, whether you're Bluebeam this or that, all the different moving parts. Your goal, and you're being open and honest up front to say it's not all there, but your goal is to build a roadmap to keep dumping this stuff into the Nebraska Capitol in a better way that you're going to talk about, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, our goal is to be as open as possible with the way that we interact with other tools. Because again, when we go back to our mission, our mission is really to be a central source for your building's information. And so we get that not everything can live within Layer, but we can start to reference all of that within Layer from these different platforms. So, yeah.
Yeah, the thing when you were talking, Zach, that I thought of is kind of like almost like an open source collator. And
sure.
you know, obviously there's a charge for it. It's a not for, you know, it's not a not for profit. So, yeah. but you know, really more so than layer, the one thing that jumped in my mind was linker, is that you were actually linking all these different software platforms together. And I think that's really the strength of layer as I'm hearing it.
For sure. Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Yeah, and that's what it's been really fun getting to know you, Zach, as I've been referencing, you know, when you go to the show notes when this is done, you'll see many other podcasts that we've done with, you could call them competitors, but you call them collators or places that can feed into the layers, right? And that's why I was so jazzed to have this conversation when I'm bringing up Anthony at Hypar or so on and so forth, Builder Trend, all the different podcasts we've done, which was so energizing for me because that's how I started this podcast. It's like, there's got to be a bit, there's got to be a platform out there that's there to connect all of us, to have more fun and not, and be able to link us all together in a way, because we all know the tools are there. It's just, there's a lot of roadblocks out there, right?
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah.
So I've been dangling, really. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Yeah, we've seen that in our experience too, just within architecture, engineering, construction, and even operations. Is too often we kind of rely on huddling around our own information, and I mean, there's legitimate reasons to do that, right? With litigation and whatnot. But if we can be a little bit more open with how we're collaborating, I think there's a ton of potential. And efficiency gains for that. So I think that's really our goal, is to, yeah, there are a lot of different platforms that we semi compete with, but yet that we're open to integrating with, because again, we realize people are going to use other platforms than just us. We know people aren't going to uninstall Outlook and use Layer alone, you know? So, yeah, we want to be that, we want to be an open, collaboration tool.
Yeah, you remind me of our conversation we had with Ben Glunz at Digital Built Week, and his whole keynote speech was all about getting more people to work with BIMsmith. When you talk about one of your buckets being the BIM integrator, it's like you kind of have to be more open if you're going to be able to plug all this stuff in, but you have to also have to understand your intellectual property, and that's where we can get jaded pretty quick.
Yep. Right? Yeah, for sure. Exactly.
So next, I've been dangling the carrot about one particular project really drove this tool to launch. And I think the Art of Construction tribe loves to go back and learn how tools really came to fruition. And on our pre-interview, you talked through a tape measure won't work for thousands of windows. Can you give us the journey on that?
Yeah, sure. So this was back at my time at BVH. Essentially, BVH was awarded a project for the Nebraska State Capitol. It was a 10-year project, HVAC replacement project. And essentially what we had to do is go in and replace, replace all of the old, outdated HVAC equipment and ductwork and, units with new smaller units and ducts and, equipment. And so as a part of that, there's a lot of patch and repair that had to go on in that building. And again, it was a 10-year project. And so as we got into that project, it required us to go into every single room and every single window, for that matter, and document the existing conditions of that room and windows. It's a historic building, so there was a lot of information to gather, even just beyond the existing conditions, information relative to is this certain material preservation worthy or not? You know, how do we go about repairing and patching this particular wall tile or something like that. All in all, there's about 1,365 rooms. There's about 1,152 windows. Each room, we had to gather about 57 different questions or data points per room. Windows were similar, to the point where we had to, all told, we had to gather about 100,000 unique pieces of information or data within this building. The way that we approached that in the past was to, you know, basically come up with a form of questions that we had, print out a bunch of copies, walk into every room with a clipboard and a tape measure, and jot down the answers on this form. We then proceed to take digital photos of the room itself, and then we'd move on to the next one. So at the end of the day, we'd end up with this giant stack of papers and this digital camera full of photos. And we would start scanning in the papers, take the digital photos, separate it all out into file folders on our server. And hopefully a month or two down the road, or even years down the road, sometimes when it came to actually designing that particular space, we would be able to find what we were looking for related to that. We knew the scale of this project wasn't going to allow us to do that. I think all told at the end of the survey, at the end of the conditions assessment, we ended up with about 39,000 photos as well. So just a ton of information that we knew that there wasn't a great way for us to do this in a traditional method. What we did is kind of set out to explore alternatives for software that might be out there to help us start to connect that information, and didn't find any. Ultimately, we had this really detailed three-dimensional model in Revit that did a great job of documenting, you know, the geometry of the building. What we didn't have is a way to connect all this real-world data that we had gathered back to the tool we were actually designing in. Said in another way, we had all of these hurdles between the information we needed to design and the program we're actually producing our drawing sets in. And so we set out to build a tool that would shorten that gap and connect that real world information, like conversations, notes, tasks, files, photos, back to the tool we actually are using itself. And so that's kind of how our journey started. We built Layer and didn't really look at it as a separate product at that point. We looked at it specifically for a solution on the Capitol itself.
You know, that all sounds like, all that data collection just sounds like so much fun. I could barely contain myself.
Yes.
You know, I was just, yes, as you're talking, I'm thinking, man, this is like dead file heaven, you know?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Exactly. And I'm listening to this. I own a window and door company in Colorado. And I'm like, you know what? And we're doing the same thing in our own silo. And then they don't match up at the end and everybody's pointing the finger.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Yeah.
You know, another thing before we move on, and I just want to make this comment, and it's having, you know, I served as a director of facilities for the National Center of Atmospheric Research for 6 years. And, you know, if there are any facilities directors or facilities managers out there that are listening to the podcast, you would definitely, your ears would perk up and you'd say, wait, are you telling me that we can go in and archive all this information about existing status of our facilities as design is happening with them, and then we can somehow link that to Archibus or another facilities management software and generate work orders out of that? I mean, that's what you said is gold. I just didn't want us to gloss over that.
Yeah, that's great. And really, Matt, that's really where we see Layer as being a really useful tool in this, is it gives you the context of what happened throughout design, what happened throughout construction, and even in operations. I'll mention that we're a different type of tool in that we try to remain flexible in what we allow you to do within our platform. So, for example, we have a large healthcare system here in Nebraska who's actually using Layer to organize and submit work orders on their project. So they're able to leverage all this design data, like room information and equipment information, and they're able to leverage that data that we gathered in design, but then utilize it in the actual operations of their building, like generating work orders, tracking their completion, asset management, things like that. So they can really quickly go to a particular room and see all of the pieces of equipment that exist within that room, and even see cut sheets related to that specific equipment, all within a few taps on their iPad. So, it's a tool that can be used in different ways across all spectrums of the life cycle of a building.
Awesome. Zach, great job sharing that story. And that was really when we were doing our due diligence. I was like, Zach needs to be a leader of the Art of Construction tribe and tell a story, is because it's not just another VC company that just throwing another tool out there. Like, you built a tool, learn by doing. And I'm such a fan of that, is because in the art of construction, it's tough to, you know, the old way versus the new way. And the picture you showed me of the person doing the measurement, you know, there's trying to manage all that stuff is hard. But when a tool is built from something from that example, I commend you for using that as one of the founding principles of LAIR with the Nebraska State Capitol, because it's relatable. So I'm kudos to that for sharing that. Any other special lessons learned or things you'd share about that case study into the overall framework of LAIR?
Yeah, I'll just say that, yeah, we had a ton of lessons learned. It was not like it was definitely not a smooth process throughout. I mean, we were building this tool as we were using it, which is a terrible idea generally to build tools as you're using them. But it worked out great. Our team saved a ton of time. And that's really where at the end of it, we decided, you know, we looked at this and said, okay, if we broaden this a little bit and focus on what was really valuable that we learned from this, then we think this could be a tool that could be used not only across other condition assessment projects, but really across the entire life cycle of a building. And so we kind of set out on that journey to build it. And again, all in-house and all with our team, set out to kind of build this product.
Super cool. And on these vein of people that have started softwares and talking technology and computational design, what is your crystal ball for the future with technology and construction?
I would say one is really related to what LAIR is trying to solve, but really is a much broader problem than even what LAIR can solve, which is each phase of a building's life cycle, whether it's in, you know, planning, design, construction, operations, within each phase, we use a lot of really complex tools to generate what we're doing. You know, whether it's in design or in construction, we use some complex tools to actually do shop drawings and make sure that there aren't collisions and things like that. But we still end up with all of these different silos of information that, at the end of the day, between disciplines, you know, from architecture to contractors, we kind of dumb it down to the lowest common denominator, meaning we have this really smart model with all of this contextual information embedded in it, but yet we're still printing out 2D drawings and 2D plans for the contractor to use. And now even today, we've worked with some contractors who are rebuilding Revit models or BIM models in general to actually do shop drawings and collision detection, but they're having to rebuild it from the set of plans. And so I think the biggest thing as for technology and what it can do for our industry as a whole is really break down those barriers between the disciplines, because I mean, that's where a ton of inefficiencies within our process are introduced for sure.
Couldn't agree more. And that's what we're always talking about, breaking down those silos. Great stuff. Well, in closing, we'll make sure we'll have information about LAIR and your platform in the show notes. But in closing, if there's that one thing you want for contractors and affiliates to listen from you to grow their business, send us out on a high note.
Yeah, I'd say increasing the efficiency of and transparency across your entire team as you're working on projects. Is a huge way to again reduce inefficiencies and ultimately grow your business, and that's what LAIR really attempts to do, is to bring all of your team's information to one place and surface it as quickly as possible.
Great stuff, man! Thanks so much for coming in and telling us your story.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks.
Man, that was so fun for me going back from the pre-interview to hear his case study building a platform and then hearing it all back of hearing his story. I just love listening and sharing people when a tool is built, when they really solve a problem. And that's what this is all about here on the Art of Construction podcast.
You know, I thought it was a little bit different than the ones that we've done lately. You know, we've been talking to a lot of folks were disruptors, you know, and there was like a real, like, I don't know, you don't want to say aggressiveness, but there was like a real sort of in your face, hey, we're changing things up, you know, new sheriff's in town. And this was a different one, man. This had like a Gandhi vibe to it, you know, where it was Zach and LAIR more like a connector, you know? And so it's taking kind of all the disruptors and all the existing status quo, and it's connecting, you know, kind of like, why can't we all just get along and why can't we all share information and why can't we all be working from the same data? So to me, it was more mellow, but I think, you know, same sort of power in this podcast.
Well, and that's kind of why I said Matt needs to be on this one with me, is because the Tasmanian Devon is most of the time a disruptor and once in a while an influencer. And when I say this platform was built for you contractors and affiliates to grow their business, damn it, I mean that. When I say I wanted to find people that can share their story, that it's about connecting in this circle, in this open source, that's what it's all about. So, man, I'm honored to have Lair as a leader of the tribe and be able to have his story out there. For we just went over 300,000 listens, and this thing is just doing so well in the art of construction. And I'm so proud of people like Zach that found had a pain and solved it through this tool and just went after it, you know? And he's done a really, really good job of understanding what that means. And I give him kudos for that, because it's hard right now in the world of noise. Matt?
You know, and the other thing, getting back to our earlier conversation, it gives me hope that a Cornhusker created this. So it tells me that there's goodness in the world.
It all comes full circle. Well, at least we won one game this year. Sometimes we lose some battles, but dang it, at the end of the day, Art of Construction and people like Lair is going to win the war. Crush it out there, tribe. Thanks so much for coming in and listening.